In the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed here on the Pensacola Expert Panel are not those necessarily of News Radio 92.3 1620, but those of Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster, attorney at law.
To your Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, and it's time to check in with our good friend Terrence A. Gross. Good morning, Terrence.
Good morning.
How are you today? It's been a minute since we've been able to chat.
Well, it's nice when the weather's like today. I mean, in fact, I like to play hooky. You know, we've had all that bad weather, and these gorgeous days on weekdays are killing me. I hope it's this way over the weekend.
Yes, I really do hope and pray that it sticks around and we have some beautiful weather. Maybe visit the beach if we can get out there. We'll see if traffic obeys and helps us out. But I do enjoy these sunny days. I feel like the world I can just see a little bit better and things are just happier.
Well, let me go ahead and just jump in the program because we never have enough time. Most people already know because they've listened to your show for years. But I've been now practicing 41 years. I got two sons in with me, a son-in-law now with me. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. And I would call us like a boutique personal injury law firm. So we have a big caseload, but we're just four or five lawyers, and we don't do billboards. We don't do TV ads. So we do talk radio, which I've always done. And then a lot of reviews. If you check us out on our website, grossandschuster.com, you could read our reviews and you could see what the public thinks about us. Meanwhile, like usual, I come up with a topic, but if anybody wants to call us today or text you regarding anything to do with a personal injury case, then how could they do that?
Please go ahead, 850-437-1620. Please do not hesitate. I there's always something that could happen, or maybe you're going through, you know, I had a family member who was in a fender bender, and it turned into a whole ordeal, Terrence. It was ridiculous. And it's people like you, I love that you're kind of like a family-oriented firm is what I guess I'll say. You're able to answer all those questions that, you know, we might just get shanghaied if we don't ask them to the appropriate people. So you guys are there, but please feel free to weigh in today. Call or text 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you.
So my topic of the day is one word, and the word is subrogation, and most of us have an idea what that means, but basically it just simply means to seek reimbursement. So there's always been some form of reimbursement that we have to pay when we settle cases. So back in the early days, in the 80s and early 90s, whenever I settled a case, I would have to, pay or negotiate any outstanding medical bills. If a hospital was owed, if the MRI was owed, and we did that, and I had one paralegal. In 1996, a Supreme Court of Florida case came down, Matthews versus Blue Shield, and it made it very clear that not only do we have to reimburse bills, but honor all health liens. It doesn't matter if it's TRICARE, Medicare, Medicaid, VA, Blue Cross, whoever it may be, they're going to have their hand out at the end of the case. And it's created a logistical nightmare for lawyers like me. So now if you fast forward to today, in 2021, we actually have five lawyers in our office. We have five paralegals, five staff members. All they do are medical bills. They don't answer the phone. They don't do memorandums of law. They don't do legal research. They don't do dictation. They don't do pleadings. They don't do legal research. What they do is medical bills, and it's a full-time job for each and every one of them. So not only do they have to know what are the total medical bills, But then you got the next column that we look at are write-offs, because as health insurers pay, there are various write-offs, which I'll get to. So there's fee guidelines, and we have to check out all the EOBs and match them up and make sure entities write off, because sometimes hospitals accept money and they don't want to write off according to the fee schedule. They have to. So, you know, it's not an easy process. And there are some doctors out there, meanwhile, that collect the money, but they don't record how they got it. So if the client comes in and pays cash, there may be an entry of $100, but we don't know if the $100 was cash or did it come from TRICARE or whoever. And we have to be like Sherlock Holmes and figure that out, because there's a big difference at the end of the case. To complicate matters, and most of us probably don't think about this, but I do all the time, we actually have four federal entities that pay bills for people. We have Medicaid that pays for poor people. We have Medicare that pays for people over 65. We have TRICARE that pays for current military members or former military members. And then we have veterans, which is, for a veteran that maybe had a VA disability and so forth. So those are four different entities, and they all have different rules as to how they get paid back. They're completely separate systems. And it's a logistical nightmare sometimes. Each and every one of them has their own pitfalls and dangers. The worst to deal with is the VA, because they don't respond to phone calls, they don't respond to emails, they don't respond to letters. So you could owe them money and want to pay them back, and you can't get a response. Could you imagine if I owed you money and I call you up and say, hey, I'm ready to pay you back in full. How much do I owe you? And you'd say, well, I'll get back to you later. I really don't know. No, that conversation would never take place.
Right.
You'd say, well, Terry, you owe me $960. Boom, I'll write you a check, and there you go. So it's just very difficult. TRICARE is very good about letting us know what they owe them, but then they don't want to negotiate. So usually if I settle a TRICARE case, normally, I have to pay back TRICARE in full. Whatever they paid, I got to pay back in full. Medicare actually has a formula where they do reduce their lien. Medicaid, we usually don't. They don't want to negotiate. And then VA, again, I don't know what they have, because it's such a broken system. So this is my life. And you got Blue Cross. Every Blue Cross is different. Because we'll have Blue Cross out of Alabama, Blue Cross of Florida, HMO, and everyone's got a different setup. And sometimes Blue Cross hires an independent entity like Rawlings and Company that works with subrogation, and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. It's troublesome. But I would tell you this, and I believe this in my heart, and I'm going to say it, and if I had a Bible, my hand would be on the Bible. I would say that if XYZ law firm settles your case for $100,000 and we settle our case for $100,000, I'm convinced that you're going to get more money with us. And that's really for two reasons. One, because we really work on these medical bills. So with these extra paralegals that are devoted solely to it, we run them down. We make sure that all the write-offs, we make sure the insurance companies have paid the way they should. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just quit paying or something, or deny a bill or something, and we got to go back and do the hospital's work, because sometimes these hospital bills get denied because they had the wrong CPT code or something, and it's on that they're the ones that didn't do it right, and the insurance company denies it, and then the staff of the hospital doesn't do anything. They just let it slip through the cracks, and it's up to us to do their job and make sure the right CPT code is entered so that the bill gets paid. Because if it's not paid, then our client owes it. Right. And again, the more these health insurance pays, every time they pay, there should be a write-off. And I'll give you good examples. I don't know how many of our listeners have Medicaid. Medicaid is usually reserved for poor people. You could be the working poor out of a job. Usually it's for the unemployed. And you have Medicaid. Most people by now, if you've had Medicaid, already know what I'm about to say, is probably 90% of the doctors in town will not see you if you're on Medicaid. It's not that they want to discriminate against poor people. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that the Medicaid fee schedules are so draconian that they force the doctor to write off maybe 90%. So if a doctor does an outpatient procedure on you and he charges $1,000, Medicaid will pay him $100, and the doctor has to write off $900. How can a doctor keep their doors open? They still got nurses, they got staff, they got to keep clean and all the overhead you would expect. They can't survive on $100, so most doctors will not accept Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Now, Medicare is usually reserved for people over 65, except if you are getting Social Security disability early. So if you're 35, 40 years old and you got disabled, then you actually do get Medicare even though you're young. But Medicare is it pays out better. They pay out better than Medicaid. They probably pay, depends on the charge, but I see this every day, so I'm going to guess 30 to 40%. Usually we'll say one-third. So they'll pay about one-third of the bill. That means two-thirds have to be written off. So if there's a $1,000 bill, the doctor gets $333. Every doctor I know in town accepts Medicare just because of the volume. There's so many senior citizens, it would be suicide to say, oh, I'm not going to accept Medicare. And so one-third is a lot better than 10% by Medicaid. Then you get into private health. And it just varies. It just there's no rhyme or reason, but I would say private health pays a little bit better than Medicare, so they may pay 40%. So if they pay 40% or 50%, that means the physicians are required to write off 40 or 50%. And that's why I think doctors and hospitals charge so much. People are always astounded at the billing. But I think it's sort of a game that goes on. I think they artificially jack their prices up because they know they're going to get beaten down from somebody. So I know this, for example, if you went in for an MRI, it depends on what facility you go to, but ordinarily an MRI scan, like a cervical of your neck, is probably $2,200, $2,400 is what they charge. Meanwhile, the insurance, whatever, they'll pay whatever, and then there's supposed to be a write-off. But if you wanted to go to that same MRI center, and people don't know this, and you say, I don't have health insurance, can I prepay it? If you prepay, they'll probably take $500 cash on something they normally bill out at $2,200. So these are just little known secrets in the trade. And some MRI entities are more negotiable than others and so forth. So this is what we deal with, and it's just crazy. So at the end of the case, you know, we have to track, we have to know all the medical bills. We got to know how much the Medicare pay. And if you don't pay back Medicare, it could be a felony. If you don't pay back Medicaid, it could be a felony. Also with Medicare, if you don't pay them back, they will suspend your benefits. So if you're getting Social Security benefits and there's an outstanding Medicare lien that they feel you didn't pay, they'll just stop paying your Social Security. They'll cut off your Medicare medical. If you go in the doctor next month, they won't pay for it. So that they could really, really twist your arm in a strong way. And a lot of times we get bundling. Let me tell you a horror story. Thank goodness the person that referred me this case was actually one of my best friends who is also a lawyer. He's a Louisiana lawyer. His father was living in Florida, had a bad car wreck, and he was being treated for it. He mainly had neck and back pain. That was his main thing, neck and back pain, physical therapy, CT scans, all related to neck and back pain. So I'm his lawyer because it was a Florida case. And meanwhile, in the middle of his case, he had a stroke. Unrelated. This guy was, you know, he was like 80 years old, so he has a stroke. He has all these bills and treatment for the stroke, and the Medicare at the end wanted me to pay back the stroke. I'm saying, you've got to be kidding me. Nobody said the accident caused stroke. I have neck and back pain. So I even got his doctor to write me a letter. I had to pay him $250 for a letter to state the obvious that said none of the stroke is related to the accident. And Medicare still wouldn't accept it, and then they started cutting off my guy's Social Security, and he's mad. And then luckily his son was another lawyer, understood my situation, was able to explain it to his dad that it's not Terry's fault. I actually had to do an administrative appeal and argue before a judge in Miami, and I briefed it. I wrote this long brief, and I was pulling my hair out. It took years, and I'm ready to speak. They did their little thing, and then I'm ready to speak, and the judge interrupts me. I go, my name's Terrence Gross. All of a sudden, the judge kind of interrupts me. I'm kind of mad and disappointed because I'm ready to talk, and the judge goes, Mr. Gross, you don't need to say one word. I've read your brief. You're absolutely right. This is an atrocity. Medicare does not have its act together, and he just railed on Medicare and wrote an order saying that, of course, stroke bills were not related, and I didn't have to pay it for an auto accident.
Wow.
So that took me 2 years of my life, and this man, meanwhile, you know, went without Social Security. Thank goodness he was pretty well off and could live without it, but it was touch and go, and just it was a logistical nightmare. But anyway, so give these paralegals, this is what they have to do. I mean, it's just a time-consuming thing, tracking every medical bill. You know, each lawyer's got probably 80 to 100 files, and these people are maybe treating every day, and who do they see, and communicating, make sure you got all the bills. And some of our clients are very good about letting us know if they get an MRI or something. Some of them don't even tell us, and then we got to figure out somehow and all that. But, you know, it's very labor intensive. I don't think other lawyers go to the extent that we do. I think at the end of the case, maybe lawyers do a spreadsheet. They have to at the end. We do it from day one. You retain me. We start a spreadsheet, and we're following your medical bills early on, all the way through, so that we sort of know what's going. Are you over-treating? Are you under-treating? Because there are these cases out there. Whether it's just not much money, the person hits you, has a 25 limit, you don't have full coverage, you don't have uninsured motorists, well, we can't let your bills get to $50,000, then you ain't going to get nothing, and then you'll be mad at the lawyer. So what we try to do is, if we start seeing the bills go up, we call the client and say, you better slow down if you want any money, because you go crazy, you're not going to get anything. And then meanwhile, we try to settle maybe sooner. If there's a low limit, and there's a lot of bills, we try to settle as soon as possible. So it's common sense, but it's a lot of work and very intensive. And we are probably, I don't know how many firms do it this way, but I actually have a paralegal that only does, handles my clients. You call, she'll book you for an appointment. She books my deposition, my mediation, and just scheduling and hand-holding and making sure we get records. And so that's a full-time job. Then we have another paralegal that does all litigation. We file a lawsuit. That lawyer is filing the complaint, answering interrogatories, filing requests for productions, filing requests for admissions, scheduling hearings, and all that kind of stuff. So that's a full-time job. And then the medical bill. So, you know, I actually have three paralegals at this point in my career help us. But the subrogation is a real big issue, and people don't understand it. And let me tell you a trap for people out there. So let's say you have a car wreck and you're banged up, you go to the ER, whatever, and you don't feel horrible, you got a little bit of neck stiffness, and all of a sudden this insurance adjuster that's dealing under property damage says, oh, by the way, I'll give you $3,000 for your injury case. And this is within days or a week of your wreck. You don't know your injuries. Mm-hmm. You do have no fault, of course. You may figure that out. Well, no fault only pays 80% of your bills. What about the 20%? So if you take that $3,000, you still owe the 20%. And if health paid any of that, then you may owe them back. And the person thinks it's just all the $3,000 is theirs. It ain't.
Right.
It ain't yours.
Right.
So that's what goes on.
And they'll try to
am I making any sense?
Oh, yeah. And I remember I was in a terrible car accident. It'll be 8 years this year. And, oh, those phone calls were, well, we'll give you this amount. Just let's settle now. It'll pay for all of your medical bills. And later on down the road, I'm still going on a monthly basis to get seen for my herniated and slipped discs in my neck. And so if I hadn't contacted the correct lawyer, and this happened up north, let me just preface by saying that, but my paralegal especially, they do a lot of work. They're there for you. They answer all your questions, and I honestly sent everything to her that I needed to do. If I couldn't even go to the pharmacy without saying, hey, my doctor's trying to give me this. Is this what I should pick up and pay for? And she helped walk me through that. Why are you getting 5 prescriptions when you should only need 1 or 2? You know what I mean? And so I didn't have those extra expenses later on.
Well, that's good. So and it's lucky you got a lawyer, because some people, again, they foolishly accept before they know their injuries. I've had so many people that just had some neck pain that figured it's going to go away. They settle and then come to find out that maybe they do have a herniated disc. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I got a sneeze.
You're
sorry
fine.
About that. But anyway, so there's so much more to these cases than meets the eye. And a lot of people, they start thinking, well, wait a second. If I get a lawyer, he's going to get 1/3 or so. Maybe I could do this myself. And really, a competent lawyer should be able to get you 3, 4, 5 times what you could yourself, maybe more. Just depends on the case. You know, we know the insurance companies, the doctors, and this is what we do. So, and I am 66. I got out of law school. I was 25 years old. I went straight through college. I graduated 4 years of college, went straight through law school. So, and when I started law school, it was really weird, because all your life, everybody's your age. You know, you're in the 8th grade, you're all about the same age. Senior year of high school, you're all about 17, 18 years old. When I started law school, the average age of my entering class, I was 21. The average age of my class was 35. These were people that were doing second careers. We had a lot of retired military, ex-police officers, ex-paralegals. A lot of people said, hey, I want to be a lawyer. So for the first time ever, you know, I was sort of at a disadvantage, but I got out at 25. By the time I was 30 in 1985, I decided I wanted to be a specialist in car wrecks. So I started getting away from all the other things, because when I first started out, I did a lot of criminal, did a little divorce. I even did wills. By 1985, I decided I was going to be a car wreck lawyer, and that's what I've been ever since. And so I live and breathe it. And then I train our paralegals. I've taught at Pensacola State University for over 30 years. I've taught a paralegal program there. And, you know, so that certainly helps. So I feel we are a good teacher. Getting back to this medical bill thing, I had an epiphany about 5 years ago. And I was thinking, because I knew the paralegals coming out, they learn all kinds of things. They're learning contracts and probate, all kinds of stuff that doesn't help my practice. Divorce law, we don't do any divorce. So 75% of what they're learning had nothing to do with what we did. And then there was no such thing as medical bills. So what I did was we started 5 years ago hiring mainly ladies out of doctor's offices. The lady that was the insurance clerk for a busy doctor, because she knew about CPT codes, she understood subrogation, you know, she knew about coordination of benefits, she knew about denials of insurance coverage and how to resubmit it to the insurance carrier, all these things that this position in our law office. So we've actually interviewed some people in the past year or so.